The great issue in real estate that is not really talked about very often is that the agent, as the provider of services, is the supply to the clients. If you are relying purely on your human supply, you are limited to the same 24 hours a day as Beyoncé. So anything you can do to increase your supply as a service provider to customers, I think falls within the line of technology you should consider.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast, visit joineliteagent.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Elevate podcast producer Cass Charlesworth, and I'll be hosting today's show. Joining me today is Sarah Bell. Sarah is a co-founder of the PropTech startup Air and the co-creator of the digital assistant known as Rita. An author, analyst, researcher, and self-professed nerdtrepreneur, Sarah is also a director of the RISE Initiative, which focuses on mental health and well-being in the real estate industry. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thanks, Cass. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here today. And I thought we could start a little bit with the exciting news that broke last year regarding the Air team teaming up with CoreLogic. Now, I know you've written about this for Elite Agent, but I'd love for you to explain how that came about and what prompted you to make that move at that point.
Yeah, look, I think what's really interesting about the journey of Air is that it started with a very simple idea. What if real estate agents had the benefit of a digital employee? And the first year of Air was simply an endeavor in asking our customers, what could a robot do to help you in your business? And then once we started to find where this kind of concept of a digital employee could be most effective and what problems could she solve and what were the most appropriate problems for this type of technology to address with a bunch of customers and a whole lot of hope and earnestness, we set out to actually shift the needle. One thing that we were very clear that we didn't want to do at Air, and I'm saying we, I'm talking about the founder and our fearless CEO Ian Campbell, one thing that we definitely did not want to do was give agents more technology. We knew how exhausted everybody was from tools that didn't integrate, from double handling. And I think a big problem that we saw in the ecosystem of property technology was that property technology was talking to customers and the humans were in the background almost acting in a middleware function, making technology talk to other pieces of technology and then completely ignoring their customers, which just resulted, it's a disaster. It's just productivity eating and customer dissatisfaction causing. And so we partnered early with CRMs and made sure that if Rita was going to really shift the needle in terms of productivity, she was going to have to use the same tools that agents did. And Rita was born with a personality as an infant with a small group of customers, and she learned to be the assistant out of a box that our customers were telling us that they needed. And then slowly, slowly, we got bigger dreams, and Rita learned to do new cool things, and horizons came up, and we had a couple of rounds of investment. And the time was sort of coming that I think we'd proven the problems that we were seeking to solve and certainly had some success around the solution in Rita. But to get to the next level, we needed help. And so conversations began with CoreLogic, and the partnership was just so logical that we kind of told them these are our plans for a couple of years, and do you want to get on board a little bit now? And they were all in. And so that's how the acquisition, that's how an investment conversation turned into an acquisition conversation. No one's gone everywhere. The whole Air Force, everybody that's raised Rita is still there raising Rita. And the marriage or the benefits of the marriage to plug the most powerful lead generation machine in real estate into the most prolific property data universe that exists should be obvious. And so without running the risk of kind of giving away the roadmap and the top secret tinkering that's going on between two product teams and this integration celebration, when you get a really powerful machine and the most optimized fuel that exists, that's how you're going to win the race. And that is a value proposition that I am just super excited and re-energized to be able to offer our customers who have been with us from the beginning and then all of the rest of the industry who maybe haven't even heard of Rita yet.
That was something I was going to ask. How did it feel for you and Ian to have taken something from scratch, from infancy, to bring it through and then see it sort of get to here? What was that sensation like last year when you said, yep, we're in, this is on, let's go?
The benefits are obvious, like that whole step change in capability, it's a no-brainer. It is the perfect marriage. And so I think in the rational sides of our brain, that makes complete sense to do that. And it feels a little bit like getting the keys to the kingdom with all of that data and all of that capability and support from a team like CoreLogic. So that part of it is really exciting. But I would be lying if it wasn't. My 18-year-old moved out of home at the same time to go to school. And I've got it. There was a few moments where all my kids were growing up and leaving me. And I just like it was the right thing for my daughter to kind of occupy her independence and go off and pursue her dreams. I kind of think this means that we've done the right thing by Rita as well. She's getting to the age where she has to expand her horizons and we needed to give her that opportunity to do it. So I think the decision is one that I am 100% at peace with. I think we've done the right thing by the industry and all of our clients. CoreLogic it's an independent data source. It's the data source of accuracy. That's the only private sector data source that's trusted by government. So when you take independence and accuracy and this earnestness to kind of serve the industry, there was a value alignment as well as sort of like a logical commercial marriage there. So it all feels really good, and our customers have, as stakeholders and probably the most important stakeholders in the deal, because they can fire everyone from Rita and Ian and I down. I think our customers have realized that earnestness that I think's always been the trademark of Air and Rita continues with the acquisition uninterrupted because of that value alignment.
I know you mentioned before that the benefits of working with such an incredible data set would be pretty obvious, but step through what some of them might be for customers, spoiling any confidential things, what they might be for customers in the future.
Look, real estate agents have a huge benefit in that I always say that real estate agents have the best data on offer. They have the sovereign data that exists in their database that is theirs and that is unique because it relates to their relationship with contacts. But that's not the end of the story, because what big data can do is draw inference and prediction. And prediction is one of those funny things, but we can get more accurate information and insights out of that data with the help of big data. And I think big data is one of those terms that's really kind of thrown around a lot, data lake and all of these sorts of things. And it's something that I think has been really misunderstood within the industry. And there's a thousand property owners in your suburb. 5% will turn over, that's 50. How do you find the 50 out of the 1,000 is the fundamental business problem that every real estate agent starts with. So if you go down this predictability kind of route or way of thinking, if you give a real estate agent a list of 50 people, they want that 50 that is going to sell. And it would be great if we had crystal balls and machine learning was kind of more like the sci-fi movie Minority Report. But humans are chaotic. We make property decisions in a way that's very individualistic. However, what big data is able to do is to work on probability. And if there's 1,000 property owners in an area, you might be able to exclude 500 so that you're only calling 500 to get to the 50 rather than 1,000 to get to the 50. And that has doubled your productivity. Right. So even though it's not this perfect list of 100%, a 2x in productivity is great. And then the better the machine gets, the better those exclusions become and the kind of target gets narrower and narrower. So I'm not suggesting for a second that we're throwing the farm on propensity, but I think that's an important function of big data. And it's an important claim that is confusing for the industry. You have to be careful with people who purport to have predicted seller lists and things like that by just understanding that how data science works. They're kind of more exclusionary than predictive. So there's always going to be people who don't fit your ideal client on a list like that. But it's a matter of, you need to look at them as not crystal balls, but tools for productivity and efficiency. And I think that's a message that gets mixed up. The power and the insights that can be unlocked by a giant data universe are so exciting right now, but what is more exciting is the potential as this technology increases, and it cannot be underestimated. If I look at where Rita was 4 years ago and today, it cannot be underestimated where she might be 4 years from now.
Well, on that note of productivity gains, I know that you come from a real estate background yourself, so you come from inside the industry, you have that perspective. And I understand from the podcast as well that we did with Ian Campbell, he was talking about the fact that this always was driven by customers, as you just said. You went to the industry and you said, what problems, how can we solve it? We're thinking this, and had feedback all along the way as to what would work for them. But there's also an abundance of other technology out there and available. If you're in the real estate industry and you're looking for tools that make your job more productive, that streamline your operation and make it more efficient, what areas would you be looking at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think it comes down to, first of all, really getting an understanding of what problem you're seeking to solve. So if I transport myself into a position where I'm a principal in a business or a franchisor or, you know, even a salesperson, my fundamental business problem might not be listings today, but I need to recognize that I need a running river of listings for consistent, valuable income or to have a sustainable career in real estate. And so if that is a problem, and we know about the roller coaster of real estate, we know you get busy, the prospecting drops off and all the rest of it. There is some predictable, and I have this notion of predictable commissions. Wouldn't it be good if everybody could just get off the roller coaster of real estate? And predictable commissions comes from consistent valuable leads. Now, the great issue in real estate that is not really talked about very often is that the agent, as the provider of services, is the supply to the clients. If you are relying purely on your human supply, you are limited to the same 24 hours a day as Beyoncé. So anything you can do to increase your supply as a service provider to customers, I think falls within the line of technology you should consider. So if that is increasing your supply to be able to go to appraisals and talk to people in the lounge room and have those discussions, then get rid of or outsource or delegate the lead generation that puts you in front of the door. And you know what? Most agents that I talk to don't want to be real estate agents to cold call people all day or kind of design emails, and they don't want to work on that. If you recognize as an agent that your supply is most valuable at the bottom of the funnel, then tools that get you there and put you there are ones that you really need to consider. There's really good products that come after the funnel as well, like anything to make that back of house more effective. But I say it with a real caveat that sometimes the things that we delegate are the things that customers want from us. And there is nothing that says to a buyer or a tenant or even a prospective seller that you're just a number than kind of bulk communication. Sometimes even with the merge fields in like dear first name, we do need to understand people. When I say we build, you know, automation and artificial intelligence solutions, people say to me all the time, like, oh, real estate for people business. I know. And what I want to do is get agents off their screens actually and onto the footpaths and the driveways and in the lounge rooms of the community that they supply their services to for a fee. But I think we've run a real problem of having agents using tools that put a screen in between them and their customers. That disrupts supply. It does, because you are not valuable then as a supplier of services. You are becoming a digital interface if you do that. And so Rita, in terms of being an assistant, her job description or her remit very broadly has always been to orchestrate your supply of services to make you more efficient and most efficient at doing that. By any means. Sometimes that's automation. Sometimes that's using algorithms to put the right contacts in front of you at the right time for the right reason. Sometimes that's just responding to a large amount of buyer inquiries so that you can focus on going to open homes and getting more sellers and working with hot buyers and conditioning buyers to turn up on auction day with the right preparation so that they're ready to bid competitively. And those conversations that build trust, some can be outsourced and some should not be. And we totally recognize that. But the ones that make those really valuable ones happen more frequently, that's how an agent gets scale.
It was interesting. I'm currently going through a real estate experience where an agent has reached out to me out of the blue. They've reached out to me by text. They know my name. They know how long I've had a property. They seem to have information about me, which is great. And they're saying, I've just sold the place across the road. I was just wondering what your intentions are. Do you feel like having a chat? Yes, I'd really feel like having a chat because this property's been a millstone around my neck. So I'm more than happy to jump on the phone. But it's partly, it's that personalization. She's reaching out to me. She's saying, hi, Cassandra, you don't know me, but I was wondering, I understand. And that's got me on the phone. And I probably will, at this point, weigh up very carefully whether we just offloaded using her too, because she reached out and she seems to have the data.
That actually sounds suspiciously like a Rita phone call. because that's in terms of a way that conversation would have been orchestrated by Rita is that, yes, you've got a list of contacts in your suburb that you can call out of your CRM. But what Rita does is that she's also looking at the marketplace and other sources of data so that when you go to make that phone call, it's not just increasing the quantity of phone calls that you're making, it's increasing the quality. So when you go to call the owner of 123 Smith Street, you know that there's been a recent sale at 125 Smith Street, what it sold for, his picture of the property, all of this is in front of you. So you can actually have a really intelligent, impactful, highly relevant and highly personalized conversation with that client rather than, are you thinking of selling? No, okay.
You know, other than the just listed, just sold. Oh, are you selling, by the way? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. It's just even like a level of personalization that is difficult to process the amount of information that is required to line up those Lego bricks of intelligence to make that phone call. You've got to scan the portals all the time for market activity and then cross-reference that with your CRM and then look at the last time that you called them and when did they buy and did they have a property anniversary lining up and all of those things, like when all of that knowledge is just constructed for you and that phone call is orchestrated from the beginning to be successful because it is about the client and relevant and accurate, you know, even knowing the difference between this house that's sold around the corner is similar house to yours, and or this unit around the corner is not like your house. So don't call those people about that sale, because it's not relevant. Find them a more relevant sale. Here's a market report that shows that the median price has gone up 12%. Like, as a property owner, you want to know that. That's why everyone pays mortgages, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense unless the market's going up. So that's kind of good news if you're on that property ladder that you're climbing up. So I think having phone calls that are positive and helpful and educational, you will find interest. And if you've got the relationship and you've built trust through those conversations over time, You don't have to defend your fees. You don't have to worry about having a couple of other agents in for a price check. Or it's just, that's my real estate person. But the work involved in doing that really well at scale is insuperable for humans, because it exists in many different systems. And so synthesizing and sense making is how Rita really adds value to that orchestration of work.
I'd like to move on to something different now, because as I mentioned before, you come from a background of real estate. So you have a very decent insight into the pressures of the industry, the burnout levels and things like that. Now, of course, you're involved with the RISE initiative, which has a focus on the health and well-being of people in the real estate sector. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing real estate agents right at the moment, as we begin to sort of come off the back of last year's incredible property boom? How do you think we're going to go in the coming months, and what do you think we'll see?
Well, look, I think there are some unique aspects of real estate that have endemic pressure in them. And that's not talked about very often, but real estate is classified as a high-risk profession in terms of being vulnerable to mental health challenges. And to the point that it is even higher than policing. Now, you think about the trauma and the violence and the pressure and danger that the police are exposed to in the front lines. And then you look at our industry, which we think is a bit cushy and luxury cars with watches, right? And it is hard to imagine how real estate would be more stressful than frontline policing, but it is. And there are some factors about real estate that make it stressful. One of those is a lack of autonomy. Even if you're your own boss and you kind of are working quite independently in real estate, your ultimate kind of success in real estate is contingent upon other people making decisions to sell houses, to buy houses. And you can inspire people and you can be the best negotiator in the world, but ultimately, there is a remoteness between your actions and getting paid that is in the hands of someone else. And we don't talk about that, but that is not a recipe for human happiness. We like to have direct control over those things. So that would be one pressure: the inconsistency of income, the delay of our results from our actions with settlement dates and things like that being very different to when we get deals done. It makes it difficult for families to budget, to manage cash flow on a domestic level. And that causes all of these things that are kind of in the dark corners of real estate no one talks about are very real, tangible things that are risk factors to kind of falling away from wellness. And RISE is... it's been an extraordinary and inclusive movement that has brought good people together who want to solve this problem. And, you know, I see a huge value alignment between the work that we've been trying to do at AIR. Like, everyone thinks we're a technology company. I actually think we're a human company. This is a human first company that just uses technology to make humans' lives easier. So I see an alignment there in terms of trying to make real change and address some real problems. And so I think, firstly, and something that's been really important to the movement is to just have brave conversations about these things and not keep them in dark corners. You know, we need to talk about these issues that are impacting real people and real families. And then how do we help them? Well, yes, conversations and yes, recognition. But one of the things that we've done at RISE, along with our very generous partners like Domain and Macquarie, is work on an app called the Real Care app. And it was designed in conjunction with some public health experts and a team at Utility Creative who have created similar apps for like the police force and frontline health workers who manage a lot of pressure, but very different pressure than what we do. And so it was important to create a tool that was made by us, inspired by conversations with us, for us. And that it kind of works in two strokes. Like, we recognize that mental health is a challenge, and there will be different time in your life where you or one of your friends or family is being acutely affected by mental health. And if you're in crisis, there is access to a variety of resources to kind of address mental health as an acute illness. And whether that is putting you in contact with the, adolescent mental health service in your state, or whether you are not in crisis, but you recognize that you're having more bad days than good days and you just want some help with that, there is access to fully funded psychology sessions. And I've had some feedback from people that have used it who have said that they are the best counselors they've ever dealt with. And it costs nothing. So if you are finding that you would benefit, you don't have to have a mental illness. If you are just finding that you would benefit from talking to somebody, that's available to you for free. And then there's like the wellness aspect of this. And I think sometimes when we talk about mental health, we just talk about mental health as a medical issue, but mental wellness is something very different. Mental wellness is not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of disease, right? Mental wellness is a state where you can reach your potential and contribute to a community and having more good days than bad. That is your everyman's definition of it. And the cool thing about wellness is you can be more well, like everybody, no matter where you're starting. There's no such thing as a fully optimized human, right? There is always some investment that you can make to be more well. But, it could be nutrition, it could be exercise, it could be your budget. If you are not sleeping because your finances are out of control, the sleep part of that app will help you, but the budgeting app will help you more.
That sounds excellent, Sarah. And I think the industry's made progress in the past couple of years because, health and wellbeing has had to be such a focus to so many organisations across the board. And there's been some real progress made, I think, and probably more to come, which is great, but at least the conversation's on the table. Sarah, I'm going to let you go shortly, but I wanted to ask, what's next for you and the AIR team? What are you up to at the moment?
I've got I've got this very lovely situation where I'm as a resident free spirit in the office, a resident free spirit co-founder. I get to kind of work on things that I'm passionate or curious about. And I think what has absolutely gripped me recently, and part of it is from all of my learnings with Rise and the Real Care app as well, is with making Reader a human. I'm not sure that we're solving a technology problem as we're solving a resource problem. And so my current curiosity is, some people need the machine and they've got a reader, and now you chuck in some petrol from CoreLogic and you've got a firing up machine. But some people also need the driver, right? Some people also need a driver, because if Reader's sending you out to all of these leads and appraisals and things, then you might need a driver. Rather than kind of, having the agent in the workflow with Reader, what if we introduce humans into the workflow with Reader, and agents could, not only outsource parts of the workflow to Reader's automations and orchestration capabilities, but what if then we could have trained humans on a variable level, just helping you out when you're busy and making sure that you stay busy. So I think kind of understanding that the collective intelligence piece and the collective work between humans and computers is what drives real results and real productivity is something that I am really excited to pursue. And yeah, we're in the process of really understanding that problem and how can we bring the humans that exist in our air sourcing side of the business, which is like telemarketing and kind of service supply side, more into that, more intimately into the workflow with an agent to really add to that productivity. So certainly that's kind of where my curiosity and focus is. And I'm really, really excited to understand that more deeply. Finding value, finding things that make agents more scalable and helping them. And that's one of the privileges of being in, like, going from being an insider to being a supplier, is that I wake up every day and I get to help my friends out. So it's kind of, it's yet to feel like work.
Sarah, that sounds fabulous. And we always ask this last question of all our guests. What one last piece of advice or final takeaway would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Look, I think it comes back to that risk piece and that trust piece that we were talking about before. Like Ian went through this process last year where he bought a robot vacuum cleaner. And I was like, welcome to the 21st century. Like, do you enjoy vacuuming? And he's like, no, I hate it, but I didn't think it would do as good a job as me. And the reality is it probably doesn't. It probably doesn't do as good a job as you, but it does the job, right? So the problem is when you get busy, you just don't do the vacuuming. But now you only have to do the vacuuming once a week to do that thorough job, whereas the robot vacuum cleaner is going to do it every single day for 1 cent of electricity, and you can do other things with that half an hour of your life every day. So I think in terms of, like, just kind of understanding that what you think might be at risk is probably not that important, or you can probably find a way to test it or trust it. And there really isn't a conflict between you and getting help. It is a matter of putting you where your time is most valuable and taking the load off, to be honest. And that's what's at stake. That's what makes the risk worthwhile. And I think if you haven't kind of been a part of the robot revolution yet, just try it. Get your life back. Thank me later.
Sarah Bell, that's fabulous advice. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Cheers, Cassandra. It's been great.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast. With thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast. Visit joineliteagent.com.